Welcome back to the Green Front. Betsy Rosenberg here. Very excited to be in the studios, the New York studios of the Progressive Radio Network. And Whole Foods is taking a big, actually a giant progressive step in terms of labeling GMO products. Very pleased to have on the program Libba Letton. She is a spokeswoman for Whole Foods. And this is good news and one more thing to feel good about when we shop at Whole Foods. So thanks for joining us, Libba. And tell us what's behind this surprise announcement.
Well, thanks for having me, Betsy. Really, the biggest reason for us taking this step is consistent and ongoing feedback from our customers that they want to be able to know as much as they can about what's in their food. And so we have done this, you know, really for them.
Mm. You know, in California, we saw the ballot initiative that would have required all food manufacturers to label their products if they were GMO. That went down to defeat, probably because of all the money that was spent opposing it by the, you know, food industry. And there was a lot of, lies, I guess, that were told in advertising that just were not true about how expensive this would be and, you know, unsafe and a lot of things that we see when the fossil fuel industry, for instance, you know, is against something. And so it was unfortunate. It was a good fight, and it's nice to see that Whole Foods is going to be moving in this direction because as Whole Foods go, perhaps others will follow in terms of stores or store chains. Is that part of the thinking behind this? Are you really trying to make a statement as well as listen to your customers?
Well, I think really the reason why we think that this is doable is because we've already been doing it. We've been working for years with our suppliers to have them transition products over to non-GMO ingredients if they're not already organic. And the response has been overwhelming. I mean, we right now sell 3,300 non-GMO Project Verified products from 250 separate brands. And that doesn't include our own 365 private label line of products. So, you know, we're doing it already. And really, the suppliers who are already doing this, the vendors who are already going non-GMO are the ones who are really growing, we're finding.
Mm. So the good news is you are the first grocery chain to be going to the full GMO transparency policy. The bad news is it'll take as much as 5 years to implement. Why is that the case?
Well, I think, you know, once you really start thinking about all the products in a grocery store, it becomes easier to understand. It's not just a matter of a company going out and on their next label run, you know, just put a GMO sticker on there. First of all, I think there are a lot of people that are now going to be more motivated than ever to switch to non-GMO, and that could take a while. You know, really one of the challenges is going to be finding enough GMO ingredients in the pipeline, you know, convincing more and more farmers to plant GMO crops. I mean, you know, right now, you know, 93% of soy and 88% of field corn and 90% of canola seed in this country are GMO. So there's a lot of, there's going to be a lot of demand on that. And so we hope to see, you know, that really increase.
So are you saying it's going to be harder to find non-GMO choices, or I think you said it'll be harder to find GMO. Either you misspoke or I misunderstood. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I mean non-GMO choices. It's going to be harder to find non-GMO choices and non-GMO ingredients.
That's what I thought you meant, yes.
Right. And we're going to be working with our suppliers and, you know, others in the agriculture industry, you know, to really sort of help that and encourage that along.
Is it possible to reverse the trend towards, you know, more GMOs out there? Because we've heard, you know, that once the wind blows, it can contaminate nearby farms, you know, where GMO is being used, even if that particular, usually smaller farmer is trying not to contaminate his crops or her crops with GMO. You know, how much can we undo?
You know, I am not a scientist on that point, so I really couldn't tell you about, you know, the details about pollen drift and things like that, but I mean, we definitely think it's doable. We definitely think it'll probably be a slower change that takes a while. We've really seen it grow. I mean, you know, the other front that we're also always working on is trying to increase organics. I mean, we carry as many organics as we can find, and we probably carry more than most other grocery stores. And so we're also pushing on that front, too, as a way of increasing the – I mean, because organic is technically non-GMO.
Right. And how many stores are you up to now across the country?
Oh, let's see. I want to say we're at 350, 351. Actually, in this country, we are at 339. We have some stores in Canada and also in the UK.
And I imagine you're growing rapidly because you're seeing the demand is there. What do you attribute the, you know, growing interest in organic foods, locally produced foods, you know, catching on not just in areas where I live, San Francisco Bay Area, you know, New York, L.A.,
right.
Seattle, Portland, where you'd expect to have a big following. But you're popping up in places that are not typically seen as sort of the crunchy granola, you know,
right.
greenish types.
Well, there's sort of two customer trends that I've heard of. One is that the baby boomers are aging now, and they are becoming more concerned about their health, and they are becoming more concerned about what they're putting into their bodies.
Yes, we are.
so those folks have a definite, you know, interest. And then the millennial generation has kind of pretty much grown up with organic food and that sort of thing. So they just gravitate toward it naturally, I think.
Mm. Speaking of gravitate toward it naturally, I tell a story how I was in Whole Foods once and I was trying to decide, you know, make a decision about bananas. And one was organic from Ecuador. And then there, maybe it wasn't Whole Foods, I don't know. But it was one of the stores I frequent regularly. Either organic imported from Ecuador or local, you know, Dole, not organic. So California,
right.
Anyway. And I was, you know, reaching for that choice. What's a green person to do? And I called it the banana split because I really couldn't decide. And I thought, you know, this can get kind of confusing and kind of crazy trying to do the right thing.
Right, absolutely. I mean, that's so true. And you know, there are certainly different parts of the country that support different kinds of agriculture. And it wouldn't, you know, would it make sense to import an organic, you know, peach into Georgia during peach season when you can have plenty of local Georgia peaches that may not be organic? You know, so it's a complex issue. Food is so complex.
And then, you know, when I pick up blueberries from Chile or something and usually put mm-hmm. it back down when I realize it is from South America, I think, you know, how long does it take to get to us and how is it still, you know, perfectly ripe? Because, I mean, can you get food from, you know, Chile to my store in Mill Valley, California in a day?
You know, I think you can, but I'm not sure that it gets there that quickly with produce. Those folks are real experts at timing on, you know, picking it and so that it'll be ripe and at what point of ripeness will it be when it reaches the store and then by the time it gets into your house and you eat it.
And when you consider the amount of embedded energy, you know, in these, you know, fruit products and, you know, it's a concern. And then I sometimes wonder why it isn't even more expensive than it is, because you can buy something for $3 or $4, like, you know, a little plastic container of berries from so far away. It must
uh-huh.
be, you know, it I don't know. It just seems like it is not the best option, yet Americans are so used to having things year-round. You know, we like that
right.
convenience, and it's been kind of an uphill effort to educate consumers that that might not be the best choice, even though it's available. There's a lot more to consider.
Right. And, you know, that's one thing that we really do work on is trying to get as much local into each of our stores as we can. We work with a lot of farmers markets. We work with a lot of, you know, grocery co-ops that drop off their food. We have all of our stores in Florida are drop-off points, so that you can go pick up your weekly, you know, CSA delivery at the Whole Foods store.
So and the farm-to-table movement really is picking up, I suppose, maybe posing some competition to Whole Foods in the forms of the growing number of farmers markets we see.
We welcome farmers markets. We absolutely welcome farmers markets. I mean, the more people can get their hands on fresh whole food, the better. And, you know, we always say that, you know, competition makes everybody better. So, you know, if the local farmers market is showing us up, that is motivation for us to, you know, be as good as they are or better.
I'm happy to hear that because I sometimes go back and forth between the farmers markets and Whole Foods and, you know, like to spread it around, spread the green.
There's more than enough for everybody. There's lots of business going on right now. So there's enough for everybody.
Speaking of business, Libba, tell us a little bit about John Mackey. He's been everywhere, it seems, promoting his book, Conscious Capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had a chance to hear him yet, nor have I had a chance to read the book. But what is his message that he's passionate about getting out there to America?
Well, Well, in a nutshell, he challenges the idea that business and profit is a zero-sum game. He asserts that you can have multiple stakeholders and hold them each, on the same level of value, and that by making each of them happy, you know, everybody wins. So, for instance, he believes, you know, if he makes the team members who work for Whole Foods Market happy, then they will make the customers happy. And then if the customers are happy, they will come and buy our food, which makes our shareholders happy, our suppliers happy, makes us happy. Hmm. I mean, that's a super oversimplification, but, you know, in every aspect of this, whether it's, you know, being mindful of the planet, or, you know, being mindful of people, or, you know, helping along a small vendor, that really when you do good for everybody.
Hmm. I agree, and I have to ask you one controversial question, or I wouldn't be doing my job. I heard, and I didn't hear it directly from him, but you can tell me if it's true or not, and maybe the thinking behind it. I heard that John Mackey doesn't think that climate change is, quote, a big problem. It may be paraphrased, but something to that effect. And I was then, of course, intrigued to read his book or hear more, and because I haven't had a chance to research that comment attributed to him. Maybe you can expand on that a little bit, because I think people who shop at Whole Foods are, for the most part, pretty concerned about climate change and would expect that Whole Foods management and certainly its owner would be concerned as well.
Sure. Well, you know, I can't speak for John Mackey personally, but what I can tell you on behalf of the 74,000 people who work at Whole Foods Market around the world is that we all have our own different ideas, and we are, you know, free and happy to have our own ideas about that. And beyond what we all think personally, I think what really makes a difference for me working at Whole Foods Market is not in our words, but in our actions. And, you know, we have a long history of doing things to help the planet, from, you know, being the first major retailer to offset 100% of our energy with wind energy credits, company-wide recycling programs, green building, solar power, you know, support for organics, you know, green steps happening all over the place. So I feel like, you know, the way we live really shows what our value is on the environment and on the planet.
Good enough. Thanks so much, Libba Letton of Whole Foods, for joining us. That does it for this edition of The Green Front. If you joined us midway, you can find the archives at prn.fm or my website at thegreenfront.com. I'll be back next week talking to you from sunny California, but today it's a beautiful day in Manhattan. Feels kind of spring-like. Have a great green week in the meantime.